What's up, everybody? Hello, this is Todd Saylor, Wired Differently author, founder, and entrepreneur. And you're listening to the Invest Steuben podcast, broadcasted from the Cowork Steuben Wired Differently Creation Studio. More people than ever are creating content to reach a broader audience. And on this show, we will talk economic development, all related to people who love and care for Steuben County in Northeast Indiana. Please welcome your host, Isaac Lee, the Executive Director for Steuben County Economic Development Corporation. Take it away, Isaac.
Thank you, Todd, for that great introduction. I truly appreciate it each and every time that you do that for us. So thank you very much. I am your host, Isaac Lee, Steuben County Economic Development Corporation, and we're here today to talk about the lovely topic of tax abatements. Tax abatements for us is something, it's a core of what we do here at the Steuben County Economic Development Corporation. It's really the core of a lot of economic development corporations within the state of Indiana. For us, Steuben County, we handle this on behalf of all of our governmental jurisdictions, from the county down to the small towns. And in this process, sometimes it can be a little bit difficult to understand if you don't do it every day like we do. There's a lot of misinformation out there about what a tax abatement actually is. What's the process? Is it eliminating the entire tax? Is it a part of a tax? So today's episode is really talking a little bit about that process. And we depend a lot, quite honestly, on the Department of Local Government Finance at the state of Indiana. Recently, back in 2018, the Assessment Division Director, Barry Wood, put out a tax abatement process document. You can find it online. It's pretty extensive. It's probably not the one you want to read every day, to be honest with you. It goes into some technical Indiana code terms. Again, if you don't use it on a daily basis, it's pretty dry reading. But at the same time, it is kind of a governing document of how we treat local tax abatements and what they truly are. So we're going to talk a little bit about some basic definitions of a tax abatement, how the tax abatement and the designated body establishes an abatement, what are the claims and the official review process, and what we do as an organization to follow through with that. So with us really being the lead entity within the county that drives these tax abatements, not only do we start the process, we do the analysis with the company looking for the tax abatement, whether it be a real tax abatement or a personal tax abatement. We provide those recommendations to the governing body. At that point, the governing body reviews our process, reviews the information being submitted by the company, and then they will vote. This is probably one of the first misconceptions. Our office, me as executive director, my staff has zero authority, zero voting authority, zero approval process in the abatement. All we're doing is providing an analysis and then providing a recommendation. At that point, let's take, for instance, county council. The seven county council members will have a vote of whether or not they want to approve the tax abatement, or the city council for City of Angola. Again, that's five members, or a town for that matter. Let's take Orland. Those three town officials will have a vote on whether or not that abatement is approved or not. So again, we rely heavily on the state of Indiana to help us with this process. There is a section in the Indiana code, I believe it's 6-1.1-12.1, in the Indiana code, where it talks a little bit about the tax abatement process. Some basic definitions that I want to start with, just to kind of get out there, to understand a little bit about where we can do tax abatements and where we can't, is what's called an economic revitalization area, ERA. Often a community, whether it's a council or a town or a city, they will need to approve an area within their corporate limits. So again, a town, a city, a county, to where this type of activity, this type of incentive can happen. That's usually designating a area or an economic revitalization area, ERA. And this is the first step. The formal process is relatively easy. In some instances in our past, we've done ERAs at one meeting, the approval of the area if it's not already approved within the jurisdiction. and then a tax abatement in the very next meeting. I don't think that we've ever done one on top of another in terms of a meeting. Most of the ERAs, or at least most of the companies that I'm doing tax abatements with, are already within an ERA. So generally, you don't do them on top of one another. But there are generally three also forms of tax abatements. There's a real property tax abatement. There's a personal property tax abatement. And we're going to talk about all these. And then there's also a vacant building tax abatement. As far as a real property tax abatement goes, that is a property tax deduction for the assessed value granted by the designated body for construction of new structures or the rehabilitation of the property within the ERA. So a lot of times this is really about the new construction of a building or the rehab of the interior of a building. We've done quite a bit of this over the last 6 years within Steuben County. A lot of companies are spending dollars within their corporation, within their current buildings, adding new square footage for additional space, whether it be for warehousing, for manufacturing process, or for actual lines, which we really truly appreciate because that shows obviously companies are investing in our area. Eligible property deductions within this space. Those would include the construction of new structures, the remodeling, the repairs or betterments of the property that will increase the assessed value. Again, these tax abatements, and I'm going to say this a couple times through this process, are really about the future assessed tax value. What we're abating is the taxes that will be added because of this investment. We're not eliminating present day taxes. Really, the only time that happens is when you're taking a green space, an acre, 5 acres, 10 acres of, let's say, agriculture, and converting it to industry. At that point, your assessed value on real property is going to be at the lowest value, likely zero. So what would happen in that case is, say, a business wants to locate and build 10,000 square foot. That 10,000 square foot, let's say it cost $2 million to build, which is unlikely, but I'm just trying to give you some round numbers. That assessed value on that property would be based on that $2 million or what the assessor in this case would determine that the taxable value is on that $2 million spend. And then from that, if we were to do a 10-year sliding scale abatement, starting at 100% tax abatement the first year down to 10% in year 10, or 9, excuse me, then in that first year, whatever the taxes would be on that assessed value, let's say they're $5,000, then that tax abatement would be actually worth $5,000, meaning the taxes would be zero that would be collected on this project because the abatement value is 100%. And then in year two, it would be 90%. So let's say that $5,000 figure is, again, the tax amount. So then we would abate 90% of that tax. So essentially, the cost to the end consumer, in this case, the end business, would be $500 in that first, that second year. So that's kind of a little bit of how the real property abatements work within this space. I spoke a few moments ago about a vacant building abatement. In this case, a property tax deduction for an assessed valuation granted by the designated body for the occupancy of a vacant building could be done. Generally, this is something that it must be unoccupied for at least 1 year, and this doesn't include the land. We have not done one within Steuben County in the last 6 years, and that's in large part due to the fact that we just haven't had a lot of vacant buildings. But to be vacant, it truly has to be not in use. It can't be used for necessarily warehousing or for the manufacturing process as a whole. It does have to be truly vacant and not in use. Let's talk a little bit about personal property. We will get into that a little bit later, but while I've kind of talked about both the real property and the vacant building property, personal property abatements are generally a tax deduction for the assessed value granted by the designated body for the installation of qualified abatable equipment within the ERA, and I'm going to talk about that here in a little bit. Governing bodies also are generally your communities, your towns, your cities, your counties. These are the bodies that can give the tax abatement. Again, these are generally elected upon bodies and voted upon bodies. My office only facilitates within the analysis phase, if you will, of the project. Personal property abatements. A personal property deduction for the assessed valuation granted by the designated body of qualifying abatable equipment in an ERA can be part of really four different types of processes: manufacturing, research and development, information technology, and logistical distribution. Those are generally where we see personal property abated within the four areas granted to us or given to us in the ability by the state of Indiana. These things often come up in what enhances the manufacturing process, what helps develop the actual widget or service that we're providing at the end of the day. So this process is something that we look for quite often within our manufacturers. We have done probably more tax abatements on personal property than we have on real property over the last 6 years. A lot of times when companies are looking to invest in their business, especially if they already have an existing four walls, they're looking at equipment. They're looking at purchases of lines, production lines, and things like that that would qualify or justify, a tax abatement. All of this comes through our office. Again, all of it comes through with a recommendation that we would provide to that governing body. And then we would move forward with the process from there. So let's talk a little bit about what that process would look like, whether it's a real property or a personal property tax abatement. Let's go through the process. I'll kind of tell you what we do, and then I'll also talk a little bit about the compliance piece, because that's extremely important as well. So company ABC is looking at investing, let's say adding some square footage, as well as investing in a new product line. And total project cost is going to be around the $5 million range. Let's use $2 million towards the expansion and $3 million towards a new product, or excuse me, not product, like a new production line, if you will, equipment that goes in that space. So with that process, what I would do is traditionally I would get an application from that company that would specify a little bit more details about the project. I would do this with every project. If the company has already done tax abatements in the past, obviously that tells me that they are currently within an ERA. If they have not done a tax abatement in the past, I'll look towards the community to determine whatever community they're based in and where they're doing this business. I will look within that community and talk to the appropriate entities within that community, usually the local governing body, and find out if an ERA has already been established. If you recall, that's the economic revitalization area. That's a designated area where tax abatements can exist. In doing so, whether it's a company that's already done something in terms of tax abatement in recent years or a brand new, and that ERA process will be identified. At that point, I'll be working with the local community as well as historical data of any tax abatements we've done in the area to determine what a best analysis might be. We start normally with, on a real property investment, a 10-year traditional sliding scale. That's 100% in year one, 90% in year two, 80% in year three, and so on, as we deduct 10% each year for a full 10 years. On the personal property side, we'll do an analysis because there is a lost opportunity cost in this process in terms of evaluating if time is worth the actual abatement savings. So on personal property, we'll traditionally start with a 5-year traditional sliding scale. And instead of a 10% deduction each year, it's actually going to be a 20% because we kind of speed up that process. Personal property, especially on a business, they're going to look at phasing the equipment out pretty quickly in terms of its actual depreciation. So we try to match our abatement process with that. Again, the assessor has the final say in terms of what the assessed value is and what the tax amount is. But we try to mirror, if you will, that deduction schedule. So in a five-year tax abatement traditional sliding scale, we have the ability to kind of, again, mirror that process. And in doing so, it makes sure that the community is not overextending themselves. So both of these two processes, 10-year abatement on real property, a five-year abatement on personal property, are generally where we start. The state does allow adjustments to be made to those abatement schedules that can either increase or enhance what they call the tax abatement or decrease the tax abatement. In Steuben County, in some of our communities, we've done both. We've increased some because the circumstances around the job creation, the wages, the type of investment, what other things might play on the project within the community that supports community needs. All these things kind of go into a recommendation that we would have as an organization to a community as to why we might suggest a different scale. At that point, that scale is identified to all the communities. And again, it's part of the talking points that we would have with that community to determine whether the abatement is worthwhile. We do always include in our calculations a return on investment, which is no different than any personal business or your personal finances. When you're looking at investment opportunities, which for a company, obviously they're investing in dollars, but for a community, you're giving up future tax generation dollars in these abatements. And we need to treat those as investments. And this is another kind of misinformation piece. Is again, we're looking at these investments as a community's way to also invest into the company by allowing that tax to be phased in at a slower speed. And we want to run a return on investment analysis on that using things like direct job opportunities, indirect job opportunities, the cost of construction, as well as its implication on other taxes within the community. We take a look at payroll and seated generations, not only of present employees, but future employees. There's just a whole host of analysis that goes into the back end of each and every tax abatement. No tax abatement's the same. And even with the same company, they're not all identical because each circumstance of that tax abatement can be slightly different. But we do always start with the sliding scale. And that 10-year and 5-year, respectfully, with real and personal property indicators are also kind of where we start, and then we'll adjust from there. So once we have the analysis done and we have a formal proposal written up for that taxing body, we will ask that the company comes with us to a presentation to the community, and at that point, it becomes public knowledge. Up to this point, because of private information that is shared with the company to our organization, and as a C3, a 501c3 nonprofit private entity, we don't have to publicly share that information until the proposal is given to the community for consideration. It's at this point that we'll talk through the project with the individuals, the governing body, the elected officials that have the vote. And from here, the community has a couple different options. Most of the time, because we're following historical practices as well, if the governing body is comfortable with the information at that point, we will ask for a recommendation for approval. 90% of the time, this happens with the community because we're not doing anything really outside the realm of what we haven't already done in the past. On occasion, a corporation may have some additional information that the community wants to review, so they could table it for the next discussion. That happens very rarely. Or on the worst case scenarios, a community could deny the tax abatement. That's never happened in the 6 years that I've been here. We do a lot of work just to make sure that we're following not only Indiana code in these tax abatements, but also following the desires of the local communities to make sure that whatever tax abatements we're recommending are falling in line with their growth plans. So that third option hasn't happened, but it's definitely a possibility of a local company, or excuse me, a local community. They do have that authority. So once an abatement is approved, what happens next? that next taxing year is where a lot of things happen. And for every year that an abatement exists, a company must and is required to report back to the governing body each and every year in a timely fashion. And this is a service that we provide through our fee-for-services agreements with all of our communities, that we as an organization are the start of that compliance process that we call it a CF1 process. In doing this with our companies, each and every time that we do it with our companies, we are looking at, again, the duration of the tax abatement. We are asking the company to come back and tell us where their progress is at on that tax abatement, that specific tax abatement. And a company might have 3, 4, or 5 at any given time, depending on the size of the company. But each and every year, for each and every abatement, the company has to fill out a form called a CF1. This needs to be done and back to the local governing body by April 15th. And the reason we choose April 15th, that's a local designation date for us, is because a month later, by May 15th, we will be presenting that to our local assessor, who has final authority to confirm compliance or deny compliance. And that is the trigger for a local company to secure that following year's tax abatement. So it's a very critical process, really from January through April for our office, to make sure that each month we're working with our local companies and determining when is the best time for us to get the CF1 form. That CF1 form, once it's signed by the company and submitted to the local governing body, that local governing body must present it to its local governing body itself at a regular public meeting and approve its compliance or deny its compliance. And then at that point, if it's approved, it goes on to the local assessor, and from there it becomes an official document for that year. Again, it's very critical. This happens every single year for every tax abatement that a company would have, at least for the duration of that tax abatement. One of the things that could happen at this process is a community could deny or mark a CF1 form not in compliance. That could happen. That hasn't happened in the last 6 years because we spend a lot of time making sure that the companies are doing what they say they're, or what they're promising that they're going to do. But a community could actually mark a company not in compliance for a year, and then they could come back the following year and be in compliance. What would happen then in that scenario is the company would not get its tax abatement that year, that taxable year. A community could also terminate an agreement at any given time should a company violates its agreement with the community. And also, these tax abatements can be transferable, assuming the equipment stays and obviously the real property remains in existence. So if a new company comes in, buys a facility, buys the equipment, and starts to operate in a similar fashion that the prior company was, then the abatements can be transferable. So in this podcast today, hopefully this gives you an overview, if you will, of our tax abatement process. It's a core function of our organization that we do for each and every community. We are always answering questions about this process and always welcome them. It is somewhat of a complex issue. We try to bring it down into layman's terms as best as we can, but we always understand that sometimes it's just complicated and people get confused about it all the time, and we have no problem answering any questions. So please listen, like, and subscribe to not only this podcast, but future podcasts. We're always excited to provide you with this information. And until next time, thank you.
Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks for joining us during this discussion. We hope this episode was beneficial to you. As always, thanks for listening to Invest Steuben Podcast. If you enjoy our show, please like and subscribe. And be sure to come back to check out our next podcast or our prior episodes. Until then, this is Invest Steuben. This broadcast was created by Steuben County Economic Development Corporation. It was produced, recorded, researched, and edited in the Cowork Steuben Wired Differently Creation Studio.